This is an Audio Wool original.
Yeah. It's gone. It's been removed.
No.
What?
Well, we'll talk about that.
What the f- Former Bigfoot hunting congressman tries to save our government from conspiracy theories.
Fast food can make you feel like death. This week, it may have made someone kill.
UFO sightings are way up this year, especially post-election. Maybe the aliens have renewed faith in us now, too.
Man named Psycho might actually be one.
A monolith has been found and lost again in the middle of the Utah desert. I'm Kelly, along with Byron. It's November 28th, 2020, and it's been a weird week.
The effect does the wiggle noise. Like, I don't...
I know. It's just, I can't, like, if I don't do something weird, it feels like I'm taking myself too seriously, and
well,
I don't like that.
Well, this is a very serious show, Kelly. This is...
No, you're talking about somebody named Psycho?
Well, I guess, yeah, and I for some reason, chose three, well, I just spoiled the lead here, three true crime stories. I want to talk about a local true crime thing real quick, just off the top here.
Oh, is this one of the ones that I get to have something to do with?
I mean, you're going to know the locations of things. Did you hear about the body they found on the running path by the Orange Street Bridge?
Oh, is this the guy that wheeled another dude in a wheelchair? And
absolutely, then... yeah. November 20th at about 12:50 p.m., a passerby found a body of a 65-year-old man named Leroy Nelson along the river trail on the north bank of the Clark Fork River near the old Western Montana Clinic building. The body was found near a wheelchair with a yellow sack on the back. And OG listeners of the Fright Day podcast who used to hear my stories of my running loop when I lived at that apartment house, this is pretty close to my running loop.
God.
Great part of town. After they reviewed security footage from the homeless shelter across the street, and with the assistance of witnesses, it was quickly determined that the guy who did this was named Charles Covey. And in an affidavit, like you said, Kelly, some witnesses said that they saw Charles pushing Lee in a wheelchair, and apparently... they also heard him screaming, "No, no, he's gonna kill me. Ah, no."
And nobody, like, that's just so creepy that nobody even tried to stop it.
That's like the most horrific thing to witness, a man in a wheelchair being pushed, saying, "No, he's gonna kill me."
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
He added that he heard 4 to 5 blows that sounded like a hollow metal pipe being violently struck against something.
Yep.
And another witness described finding the body with a large bleeding wound on the side of his face and scalp with pieces of brain or skull and nearby blood splatter on a concrete wall.
Yep.
Just a fucking nightmare right down
really the street. Really terrible. And honestly, what makes me really nauseous about it is it sounds like the witness didn't immediately do anything. I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here, B, but I think it's because these were homeless people and that person.
Two people experiencing homelessness. That is a dangerous stretch. That was on my running path. Didn't love jogging past the homeless shelter. Most people are pleasant. Some people are mentally ill. I have been nearly assaulted several times in front of there, but also there's very sweet, kind people.
Well, and this, because this is something I was wondering, but did like the guy that witnessed it, did he call 911 immediately?
I don't know. I didn't read the affidavit itself. I just saw the pull quotes, so I'm unsure about that, but it's just a really tragic mess and one of the more violent crime scenes that we've had in a very long time around here. Also, I don't know if you saw this update. This is just from yesterday's newspaper. The father of Charles is asking for the maximum sentence. He wants his son put to death or in jail for the rest of his life. He said, quote, "I'm 100% for it, the death penalty right now. I don't want this monster pampered. What he did is unforgivable. I definitely want to do my part to make sure it doesn't happen again."
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know much more about this story. It just so recently happened. But yeah, just right in our own backyard. Really, really awful, violent attack on a man.
Yeah. Oh.
Are you
very
okay?
Very scary.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was a nice Thanksgiving.
Oh, good.
It was a little bit smaller, obviously, like I think most people's were. But it was very sweet. I ate lots of food.
Good.
What else did I do? Nope, that's pretty much it. Oh, watch Jingle Jangle and the new Christmas Chronicles.
Oh, Christmas Chronicles too. All right. Well,
and I actually got Sam to watch Holiday with me.
Holiday, huh? All right. Well,
yeah,
that's for a different podcast.
It's a new one. It's got Emma Roberts. And you know what's funny? You know who produced it?
Who?
Mick G.
Oh, I do like Mick G, the babysitter gentleman, right?
Yep.
Oh, great. Kelly, tell me about this Bigfoot hunting congressman. We've had UFO hunting congressman. I don't know much about this gentleman.
There is a Virginia congressman. He's a Republican congressman. Used to be, I think, a contractor for the NSA, National Security Agency, and ended up going on some Bigfoot hunt, though it sounds as though he wasn't necessarily a believer at the time. He says he dabbled in Bigfoot beliefs, and now he looks back, and this is his quote about it: "It was not the greatest thing I've ever done."
And this gentleman, you're talking about Denver Riggleman, correct?
Yes. This is my problem with this gentleman. He's doing some good things. Though he is on his way out from his role in the government, his congressional role, he has been replaced. He is fighting the valiant fight against QAnon and other mad conspiracy theories, which I think it's very, very important to do. We've talked about this quite a bit, and hoping to do that on our own and live up to David Pakman's expectations.
I think when you see what happened in 2016 and now in 2020, people keep, you know, this, the conspiracy theories, these just sort of bizarre alternate realities that people are living in are starting to contribute to, really, I think, this, you know, dissolution of reason. And whether it's QAnon or whether it's Sharpie Gate, which is ludicrous, I'm almost out of pithy things to say, you know, buddy. The last thing I said, I'm like, you know, are these people who think The Lord of the Rings is a documentary? I mean, I don't get it, right? So you have Sharpie Gate, you have the watermarks, you have ballot burning, and now you have this bizarre, ridiculous conspiracy theory. And a lot of this is QAnon umbrella stuff, as you know. But this, you know, from Steve Bannon, and I think it was, who was it, a retired three-star, that NSA is manipulating ballots, electronic voting, you know, that really is really the, I think, the island of the misfit toys at that point. You have crossed the Rubicon, you've jumped on the crazy train, and you're headed into the cliffs that, you know, guard the flat earth at that time, brother. And, you know, I think that's the issue that I've had, is that I think this radicalization has gone too far, and I think the two-party system is contributing to it at this point.
But so this makes perfect sense, right? Like, yeah, he needs to be fighting that. But now he's looking back and, like, equating QAnon folks with Bigfoot hunters. And I'm just going to say, of course, there are some Bigfoot hunters that are a little bit bananas and probably buy into some of the QAnon stuff. But, you know, you're interested Bigfoot, like, I'm fairly sure that Dr. Meldrum is not a QAnon believer.
I would say most likely, yeah. I mean,
Seth has done a lot of work with Bigfoot. He is definitely not a crazy QAnoner.
No.
So I don't think it's fair for him to be equating the two. But I get it, and he kind of caught shit earlier in his career for the Bigfoot stuff. In fact, he had made a couple posts about Bigfoot erotica.
Sure. This is where I remember his name. About 2 years ago, his opponent, when he was running for Congress, brought up his love of Bigfoot erotica.
Yeah.
Leslie Cockburn.
I do think it was, like, in a joking context.
Well, yeah, when your name is Leslie Cockburn, you have to pull out all the stops.
Okay. Yes, I know.
Wait, so is this just a pro Denver Riggleman portion of our show?
No, it's a qualified pro, because I think he has, you know, obviously was fairly embarrassed by that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now is trying to leave somewhat of a dignified legacy, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
That he is doing so with a valiant fight. I do not appreciate the fact that in an interview with the Washington Post, he equates Bigfoot hunters to QAnon folks.
Sure. No, I get it.
And I do not appreciate that, because I love the investigation of our friend Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And believing that there's something worth investigating there is very different than thinking that Hillary Clinton rapes and drinks the blood of children.
Sure. It sounds like he's just throwing his past beliefs under the bus in an attempt to clear his name.
He's disavowing very much. Yeah.
And that's too bad, because it sure is going to affect the book sales, especially Bigfoot, .. It's complicated.
Well, and the guy, I mean, he used to have Bigfoot socks, and he used to, like, proudly like Bigfoot.
Yeah.
But no more. That's not his book, I don't believe.
It is, by Denver Riggleman.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Just recently published. Maybe something that you should look into.
Maybe I should. Maybe I should. And maybe he'll go back and, you know, do some dignified Bigfoot research. But, I mean, he doesn't like the Proud Boys. He doesn't like the Boogaloo movement. He doesn't like QAnon.
Well, good.
He's telling people to stop with the crazy theories that Biden didn't win.
Let's just hope that he doesn't get into, like, furries and the Bigfoot cosplay. That'd be great.
And he's also one of the, you know, I would say, oh, God, how do I do this without making you mad at me?
Oh, you don't have to worry about that.
He's one of those Republicans that took a moral stand against some of Trump's madness, mm-hmm. and, you know, arguably lost his seat because of it. But by attacking Trump, he was loyal to democracy, even if it was not loyal to the Cheeto in charge.
You're selling this guy so hard. It's fine. We can move on. I get it.
I know. It's hard because I actually went into this wanting to talk about what an asshole he was for betraying the Bigfoot folks out there.
Uh-huh.
But he's really doing enough good things. I can't just scream at him. But I would like to get an interview with him, Byron, if we could. I would like to talk to him about better evidence out there for Bigfoot, and maybe that he should walk back and realize that it's not just erotica or nothing, you know.
I think he would gladly
find a gray middle ground that might have some really interesting stuff in there.
It kind of reminds me of the Ken Bone situation. Remember Ken Bone, the guy who...
Okay, you need to tell me because I don't know. The name sounds very familiar, but I don't remember
it. So Ken Bone, he was the red-sweatered man at the second presidential debate in 2016 that kind of went viral. Turns out later, when people dug into his search history of his Reddit profile, he was really into pregnancy erotica. People didn't like him as much after that.
Okay, yeah.
So, Callie, you had your fill of Thanksgiving food, much better than whatever you could get at a drive-thru.
Yeah, in fact, I've got a bowl of it here, and I'm going to munch on it while I listen to your story.
Well, I hope I don't turn your stomach too much, because last Saturday at 1307 Cornhusker Road in Bellevue, which, of course, is French for beautiful view, and also is a southern suburb of Omaha, Nebraska.
If it's Husker Lane, this place better be in Nebraska.
Folks were heating car hop crossing signs, pulling into stalls, turning off their vehicles, admiring a vast and varied menu, making tough decisions, and when minds were made up, reaching out their car windows and pressing that big red button.
Welcome to Sonic. May I take your order?
That's a question that two employees will never get the chance to ask again. Because that night, it wasn't the customers, but the employees of this fast food establishment who would be the victim of horrific targeted violence at the hands of a physically and mentally disgusting man named Roberto Salva Jr. And I'm just going to take this opportunity to send you a quick picture of him over text.
Do you know I've never been to a Sonic? How crazy is that? Okay.
But that's also not where the story begins, because 4 days earlier, employees of the Sonic drive-in received a phone call from a 41-year-old man. Did you get the picture? What do you think about this guy?
Yeah. Okay, what's the name of... All right, this is going to annoy you. Veep, the asshole senator that always says, like, the meanest things, and he has this, like, dude that follows him around and basically is just meant to take verbal abuse from him perpetually.
You think this guy looked...
Yeah.
But blown up.
He looks like that guy.
Yeah, okay.
Plus, like, 200 pounds.
I don't know
pounds.
The name of that man, but we're not talking senators anymore. We're talking about...
No, Veep senators?
It was.
Valid.
I'm not discrediting it, but that's also, again, not where the story began. 4 days earlier, employees at the Sonic drive-in received a phone call from a 41-year-old man complaining that there were orders being made using his Sonic app that he didn't place. Four of them. Employees determined that the app was being used by someone going by the name, quote, Mike. They then used transaction information to ID the car of the person who was using the app, and that since Mike was still in the parking lot, they called police, who arrived right as his Toyota Camry was leaving the lot. He was pulled over, questioned, and everything was confirmed when Roberto displayed his Sonic app. He was logged in under a different name.
Nelson Franklin is the gentleman's name I was trying to say. He looks like Nelson Franklin plus 200 pounds.
When confronted, Roberto told police that he'd recently loaded several gift cards onto his Sonic app, claiming that earlier in the evening, he had received an email notifying him that his Sonic account had been updated. He said that he logged onto his account and found that the name on the account had been changed, which is something a very panicked man would say in front of police after being caught stealing food. So employees assisted in connecting four transactions to the account. All had been placed the same day. And Kelly, if you're asking, do I have the contents of those orders? Of course I do.
Okay, let's hear it.
Order one, a queso burger and 4 quarter-pound hamburgers. The total bill plus tax and tip, $17.
Hold on, what was the tip?
I don't know. I'm not
okay, because that's important.
It's nice that he tipped, though. That's kind of cool. Order two.
Yeah, but he could have tipped like 15 cents. Don't say it's cool yet.
6 quarter-pound double burgers. The total plus tip, $20.
Okay.
Order number three, 6 corn dogs. Total bill plus tip, $10. Later in the day, came back. Order four, 6 more corn dogs.
Wow, very serious.
Total plus tip, $10. In his car, they also found 3 firearms. They kept those as evidence. He was released from the Sarpy County Jail on Thursday after posting 10%.
Farpy?
S-A-R-P-Y.
Oh, Sarpy. That's a fun name for a county.
He had a $1,500 bail, paid $150. He was ordered to appear at Sarpy County Court on January 6th on the identity theft charge, which brings us to 9:23 p.m. last Saturday. First call comes in related to the incident. A caller reported a flaming U-Haul moving truck with some wires and tubes sticking out of the back, possibly having a bomb inside. A minute later, another caller reported shots fired in the area. 9:26 p.m., first units arrived in the area looking for a 6'6" gross fat guy. And I only make fun of his weight because he's a monster. I would never do that.
Right. I mean, you know me. I'm a firm believer in that approach.
9:31 p.m., police received information from officers that they believe they located the suspect on the south side of Sonic near the entrance. 9:39 p.m., Roberto is confirmed in custody. And I did watch the body cam video of the arrest. They showed it during a press conference, which I've seen too many Zoom press conferences. The police are not good at this. They don't know what they're doing.
Well, it's not what they're it's not what they're supposed to be good at either.
No, I agree, but we've been in this pandemic situation for damn near a year at this point.
I know.
We should get better at this, but audio issues, technical glitches aside, I did watch the body cam footage that they released. It's like 90 seconds. And some things felt a little off to me. The sheriff and his partner identified Roberto as the suspect, who was at the time lying on his large stomach wearing basketball shorts, of course. As they approached him, they asked him if he had been shot and if he was injured. And then they said,
"Put your hands behind your back, buddy.
Put your hands behind your back, buddy," as they cuffed him.
Okay.
Later, he was booked into the county jail at like 4:30 a.m. But yeah, we've seen a lot of horrifying police violence this year. And interactions like this leave me wanting
something more
in the middle, I guess, because
this
guy's a mass shooter and they call him buddy and check on his personal well-being before even approaching him. Like, I don't know.
Oh,
I'm not saying I wish that this man got physically assaulted by the police.
Right, but the stark difference is pretty impossible to ignore.
Yeah, and I also don't know exactly what happened inside the Sonic. Those details haven't really been released, but two of the victims, Zoe Lugin, who's 18, and Kenneth Gerner, 25, were sent to University of Nebraska Medical Center for treatment. Both in critical condition. I believe one is doing a little bit better, but they're both still in the hospital. While Nathan Pastrana, 22, and Ryan Helbert, 28, were declared dead at the scene.
I kept texting him and calling him and telling him, "Hey, babe, call me. I heard what's going on. Please just call me. Call me."
It's a mother's worst nightmare, receiving a phone call in the middle of the night that her child had been killed.
I kind of sometimes hear him in my head, and I hear him just say, "Mom, I'm fine."
Fifth Sonic employee suffered a minor injury but declined treatment at the hospital. No customers were inside the building at the time of the shooting.
Wow.
Bryant and Moira Morrison, the owners of the Bellevue Sonic location, have pledged to pay both the funeral expenses and the hospital costs for the victims. We are providing grief counseling for our team and planning a permanent memorial at the drive-in when it is rebuilt.
God.
Moira said on a GoFundMe page that it's raised over $22,000 at the time of recording. Our heartfelt condolences go out to the franchise owner and the families and friends impacted by this horrific tragedy, a Sonic spokesperson.
Okay, why is the franchise owner out the front of that list?
Yeah, I agree, Sonic spokesperson.
This is making me sick.
Yeah, they also are sending $5,000 to each of the families. Thanks, Sonic.
Huh.
Investigation continues, but while in court on Monday, the judge did charge Roberto with two counts of first-degree murder, attempted first-degree murder, weapons, and arson charges. Roberto Salva Jr. is being held without bond and is scheduled to be back in court on December 15th. The GoFundMe link, I'll have that in the show notes of this episode because... And there's lots of places to donate to these folks. I'll include several different links.
God, that's depressing.
Yeah.
I thought it's been a weird week. It was supposed to be like light and jolly.
I mean.
Fuck, man.
I'm sorry, Kelly.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Sonic?
No, I've never eaten at Sonic. People really like it.
I like it. They've got really good grilled cheese. Very cheap. Great beverages, too.
I do love grilled cheese. They've got good shakes, right? Something like that?
Probably a concrete or two, yeah.
Wait, what?
A concrete. Do you know what a concrete is?
What the fuck are you talking about?
I guess it's kind of like somewhere between. It's like a thick milkshake, I guess you could say. And maybe they use custard instead of ice cream or soft serve.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
No, I really want some. Shit.
Well, I'm sorry.
Well, I was really excited to talk about fun UFOs, but now I'm just sad about people that were working a minimum wage job and lost their lives over it. It makes me really sad. MUFON. Everybody gives them shit, but they actually do a pretty good job of distilling the UFO reports into ones that are maybe worth investigating.
From
now, in terms of collaboration
basement.
And getting their shit together to do major research, not so much. But as a clearinghouse for reputable UFO sightings, pretty good. Pretty good. The highest number of sightings in the last 20 years took place in 2015, and there were 114. Mm-hmm. As of about 12 days ago, we were already at 99 for the year. So we're on pace to break the record. And this is pretty cool. There was a big spike this summer when Elon Musk launched his SpaceX satellites. I don't know if we ever talked about it on the show, but Byron, did you ever get to see like the crazy satellite parade?
What? No, a satellite parade?
It was the strangest thing. I can't believe we never talked about this. Okay, I saw it one night. I'm standing out there. I'm like, what in the hell is this? Because, you know, you can see in the sky a satellite going overhead, right? Like, we live in a part of the country where you can see this stuff pretty easily. But it was a like perfectly spaced row of satellites, just like this little mini satellite parade just going across the sky. I was like, what the fuck is this? And Sam was super intrigued, and then we figured out it was Elon Musk's SpaceX satellites.
It was like back in May.
He did two big launches, I think. I think there's another one later on in the summer. But so, of course, there were a lot of sightings reported in conjunction with that, which certainly are not hoaxes, but logical explanations instead, right? Probably not UFOs. It was clearly aligned with Musk's launch.
Yeah.
But then there's been another uptick in the last 3 weeks post-election. You know, a lot of sightings this year in general make sense because people are at home more.
Exactly. It's the same as the ghost situation we were talking about earlier this year.
Exactly. People are noticing weird shit more. In terms of what's happened since the election, that also could be because people have gone more on lockdown in some parts of the country that believe that this is a thing. That's happened a bit more. Also, the weather's not as great. So, of course, I guess that wouldn't really help because people camping, you would think, would definitely. Yeah, I don't know. Well, quarantine is believed to have a significant role in the situation. But MUFON, I would like to keep everybody posted. And certainly, please, if you see anything, report it to MUFON. Help us break this record and make 2020 the greatest year for something. could be the greatest year for UFO sightings, guys.
So lie about more stuff.
That would be my ask. Just make sure it's not the Elon Musk satellites that you're reporting. But I would check and see. I don't know what the status of those are. I don't know how easy or hard it is to get a glimpse of those these days. But if you have the opportunity, you should, because they are very, 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 very cool. Like, wasn't there going to be another launch?
Oh, I'd imagine.
I don't know. Didn't he just become richer than Gates or something? Shouldn't he be launching more satellites?
Sure. Why not? Until that vaccine makes Bill Gates super rich, right?
Who? What?
Yeah, I said until that vaccine makes Gates really rich.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We listened to too much Alex Jones recently. It's I can't even say I can't even say that word on this.
Oh, no, we can't say anything because...
We'll get in trouble.
Jesus Christ. Well, it is... You guys, I really do recommend you go check it out and see... if you can follow the pattern and get a glimpse of the parade, because it is very, very fun. And some launched at the end of October, so.
Well, hopefully we can eventually take over MUFON, because I remember they were having some bad PR. They had some sort of child abuse.
There have been a lot of bad things going on with them. It's kind of a bummer, but.
Well, speaking of bad things and bummers, I got one more for you.
Oh, great. You got another downer?
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be a quicker one. This is something that I don't know. I think it was during our Patreon Behind the Screams episode, you mentioned a fugitive serial killer that had just been captured, a psycho named Psycho.
Which just doesn't even make sense to me.
Well, the discovery of the skeletal remains of three people at two different locations near Las Sauces, which of course is Spanish for the sauces, sparked a manhunt for a possible serial killer.
Hold on,
last
can
week.
You spell that word?
S-A-U-C-E-S? I'm just guessing, and it was a funny joke because the last one I opened with was a French for Bellevue, remember? I'm hilarious.
You are very hilarious. Okay.
Authorities from at least four sheriff's offices and police departments in Colorado, San Luis Valley Agricultural Region, and state investigators have formed a task force to investigate the case. Investigators have not identified the three bodies. They were pretty much skeletonized at this point, which I'm starting to realize skeletonized is not a word. It's skeletonize or skeleton, but there's no... the process of becoming a skeleton word, from what I can see in the dictionary.
Wait, really?
I don't know. Do some research for me.
Huh.
It's going to be a while until we figure out who these people are because of the decomposition. But yeah, police in the area have investigated several missing person reports over the past few months. We don't know if it's any of those folks. One example of the people that they're saying it is not is a 49-year-old woman named Suzanne Morphew. Reported missing on May 10th after leaving her home on a bike, and that was Mother's Day, which is super sad.
It's
most likely not her. The bodies were discovered while police were executing a search warrant related to stolen vehicles and construction equipment. No cause of death, age, or sex has been released so far, but soon after news broke about the bodies, the Colorado Bureau of Investigation and local police agencies identified a suspect.
His legal name is Andre Jordan Barrows, but law enforcement officers said today that most people just call him Psycho.
He is commonly called Psycho around these areas.
And while no explanation was given for his nickname, we do know that 26-year-old Barrows has a lengthy arrest record for various violent crimes over the past few years. We also know that he's now on the run, wanted in connection with the deaths of three unidentified people whose remains were found last week on two different properties, not far from where Barrows is from, in the remote San Luis Valley, about 4 hours southwest of Denver.
Currently have a warrant, an active warrant, for homicide.
Andre Jordan Barrows, nicknamed Psycho. He's a felon with an extensive
criminal
record.
Nicknamed Psycho.
Yeah, it wasn't his given name.
Okay, because when you talked about this story at the beginning.
I did say his name was Psycho. I'm going to say he's
right,
going by Psycho.
I just, all I could think of is like, who names their child that and thinks that anything else will happen?
I guess it's more likely, but yeah. His record, assault on a peace officer, escape, and theft. He also had four criminal cases currently open against him for charges of obstructing government operations, assault, possession of a weapon by a felon, and several drug charges. He's also a very, very scary looking person. I don't want to demonize folks with face tattoos. I'm a pretty open-minded guy. But when you have permanent clown makeup and are nicknamed Psycho, You scare me. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But thank goodness, Thursday the 19th at about 3 p.m., Psycho was arrested in Gallup, New Mexico at a motel. Not sure if he got new face tattoos or if he just got roughed up in the arrest, but it sure looks like he is a defeated gentleman in his mugshot. Very scratched up, got a black eye, probably put up a fight. And I really don't have any other details about this case. The court documents have been sealed. So yeah, three bodies could be the end of it, or maybe we're just getting started. Either way, I'm glad we at least got one psycho off the streets. Back to you, Kelly.
Do you remember when I was the one that broke that story to you, don't you?
I do. And honestly, I mean, I'm not blaming you. The picture is way better than the story. This is just some guy who killed some people, and it's like, duh, he's a criminal.
Come on.
I'm just saying, my Sonic story is far more interesting than Psycho, but I'm going to put these mugshots back to back, and we'll have a poll or something. We'll see whose mugshot is better. The jolly, smiling face of a man who stole $57 worth of food and then killed two people over it, or Psycho, who's a... Psycho.
I mean, face tattoos always trump, in my opinion.
I don't know, man. Look at the picture of that gentleman I sent you. Why is he smiling? There's a picture of him with no glasses, too. Same smile. That's not an accident.
Okay, so I do have a question about that.
Yeah.
Is he, like, perhaps mentally disabled?
It doesn't appear that way. They asked him if he...
I don't know. That smile looks pretty...
And we're talking about Roberto Salva. He was 23. He had no criminal charges until last week. I think he just snapped. I don't think he's mentally disabled.
What about drugs? Could have been drugs.
Drugs? Could have been drugs. But yeah, and he had three guns in his car already. I'm not saying your husband doesn't have 3 to 7 guns concealed somewhere in your vehicle, but he's...
Oh, no, he only has... No.
I mean, yeah, you know he gets mad when you tell people how many guns and where they are.
I actually, I mostly don't know. I know he typically has one in the car, but he also has a concealed weapons permit.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not Roberto Salva Jr., 23-year-old gentleman stealing hamburgers and corn dogs.
Yeah, we also don't leave the house.
Yeah, you guys got to get out at some point. This is really interesting. I'm really happy we got the chance to talk about this next story because everyone's been talking about it. But
yeah, so Byron and I are sitting chatting about a story when we realized that very new news had broken on it.
Yeah.
So this story began on November 18th, which is now 10 days ago. A couple of fellas doing a helicopter survey of bighorn sheep in southeastern Utah saw something weird on the ground. And then they started hearing some music, and then they... No, they didn't really.
I was going to say, wait, what? I missed that part.
No, it just... There were lots of jokes because it looked... Byron, you've seen 2001 A Space Odyssey,
sure.
Haven't you?
Yeah.
It looks like the monolith from the beginning of it with the apes, except it's not black, but
zero apes smashing bones, though.
Yeah.
None of that.
And it's big. I mean, it's real big. It's got to be... Somebody had the dimensions of it, but you look at the pictures and these two guys, the fun thing was the two guys that were investigating it landed the copter and went to go check it out, looked like two guys in nondescript sci-fi uniforms.
Well,
essentially
they were government employees.
Well, they were just the Utah Department of Public Safety and Division of Wildlife Resources, you know, from those two organizations. But look at those suits. It looks straight out of like Alien or one of those movies, you know, where they have the... It just does, obviously.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, we're talking about the monolith in the middle of the Moab Desert in southern Utah.
Okay, I definitely just said southeastern Utah. Like,
all right, well, I wasn't...
20 seconds ago.
I was just staring at these men. I apologize.
Okay, so it's very shiny and smooth. It was big. Everybody was wondering where the hell it came from. So I actually spoke with a friend who is an archaeologist, and he made a few calls, and apparently... People searched through a lot of Google Earth images, mm-hmm. and it was determined that it showed up sometime between April of 2015 and January of 2016. Like, it wasn't there in April, it was there in January.
It's so wild that no one saw it before.
That's what's weird to me, too. Like, it is in the middle of nowhere, so I guess you could understand it a little bit through that, but clearly people fly over it. So some hikers did find it after this. In fact, Byron, you were talking about this at the top of the show, these hikers went out and checked it out a couple days ago, and they were posting photos with it, which is pretty cool. That would have been fun to get to.
I'm surprised more people didn't do this sooner, but these guys, a lot more creative. David Serber is one of the gentlemen who used the flight patterns of the helicopter and compared them to the Google Earth map and found the location and went there. He has a couple details on his Instagram about what it is.
And what does he say about it, Byron?
All right, y'all wanted the magnet test, so I didn't bring a strong enough one, but not sticking. Okay, those are the attempts. And then, let's see. So is it solid? Not solid. Sounds a little bit like a cardboard box. And then, to the lighter side, you got rivets and handprints from Diesel Dave going all the way up. And then it's three different panels. You can see there. So all the panels are separate and then riveted. Hollow, riveted, not magnetic.
Does he know that it's made of aluminum? How would he know that?
Well, I think you can tell the makeup of...
I trust the guys in the green jumpsuits more.
All right. Well, they didn't... They were like... They're like Forest Service employees. What would they know about the magnetic properties of a monolith? It's three pieces riveted together, and there's two rivets missing at the top. And then he actually has the instruction of how to get there.
When did he post how to get there?
I mean, and this is why everything went bad. This is 3 days ago.
Okay. And in his instructions, Byron, does he talk about how long he had to hike at the end of it?
Yeah, he does. He goes through all of it. He says, if you go down Lockhart Drive, a sedan won't do it, crossover SUV or higher. You won't be able to go over 10 to 15 miles per hour, and it'll take you about 45 minutes on that road. The hike from there, after you park perpendicular from the coordinates, which he has those, you'll know you're parked in the right spot if your coordinates on the map are directly online vehicle on the road. I don't know exactly. 10 to 15 minutes walk in from that point.
Okay, so here's what's weird, though. It does appear to be super heavy, right?
Well, it's made of aluminum, so it could be heavier.
Byron,
yeah.
It disappeared yesterday.
Yeah.
It's gone. So it was illegal. Like, it was illegal to have it there in the first place.
Yeah.
People thought maybe it was some kind of a weird joke. Maybe it was one of, you know, like a modern art installation.
That's my guess.
But it wasn't supposed to be there. And now it's gone. The same friend that I had talked to about this originally, I, of course, texted at the top of the show and said, so what the hell's with this? And he says, oh, somebody just drove and dug it up with a shovel and a jack and a truck and took it out. But the last 15 minutes walking, like, it seems like it would take a little bit of a more coordinated effort.
Yeah. More. I mean, at least a group of six rednecks in a truck. Someone did see a large pickup truck with something in the bed of it.
Really?
Passing them as they were going in to see it for themselves.
Oh.
I think, I mean, honestly, if I'm being honest, there was part of me a couple days ago that was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to drive down there and find it.
Oh, God, it would have been fun, eh?
And then, like, record the whole thing, make, like, a show out of it.
I would have dressed up like a monkey and beaten sticks around.
I mean, if it wasn't Thanksgiving, I'm not joking. I think we would have done something with this.
Oh, but yeah, I would have. If it wasn't Thanksgiving or COVID, I would have.
Well, I can deal with the COVID because there's literally not that many people out there.
Just do a Tom Green.
I have seen what Tom Green's doing, traveling across the country.
Have you not seen what Tom Green is doing?
What's he doing? I know he's got a podcast where he interviews people.
Yeah, he converted his van into this full, like, production studio.
Yeah, yeah.
Took his dog and has been on the road for months now.
Parking on service roads and, like, fire roads and just living his life.
Eating canned corn.
Of course. But so you're saying that maybe Tom Green stole this. My concern, though, Kelly.
No. I'm saying that you are talking about going on the road like Tom Green. You and Oliver just putting a bunch of production equipment in a van.
This would have been a 2-day trip. I don't think I would have been long hauling.
I mean, it could be the beginning of something, Byron. Could be the beginning of something glorious.
I don't want to do that. But I am glad, in a weird way, Kelly, I'm glad that someone took this monolith out, because I am a big fan of the Canyonlands National Park. I like driving through this area when I'm on my way to LA. I think that it would have been weird to make it a tourist attraction. It would have damaged the natural beauty of
this area. That's fair. But I want to know the story of who took it out and why.
I think that's...
Like, don't you?
Yeah. No, I want to know as much about this as possible. I want to know who made
it. Because it does seem really, really strange to just take it out without any explanation.
Well,
I mean, somebody's going to have to claim it. You know what I mean?
It'll show up on eBay here in a couple weeks. So
no, because then it'll get tracked. I mean,
unless... It's not illegal to take this thing.
Well, I mean, it has to be, right? Even
why?
Because it was on private property.
Well, it is on private property.
It was illegally there in the first place, but it was still on private property.
Yeah, I don't think that the Forest Service or whoever, the Bureau of Land Management, is going to care if someone took this thing that shouldn't have been there anyway.
I mean...
It is beautiful. I'm glad. I hope someone's enjoying it. I hope they're not just...
Well, BLM said they didn't take it. They don't know what's going on. There's got to be news. Something's got to break soon.
We'll give you an update on the regular show, but yeah, I guess, I mean, that's the news this week. A couple murders, monolith, and the potential of the most UFO sightings in recorded history.
Well, no, in the last 20 years, but that's okay.
Well, thank you.
Pretty sweet still. Go check out the Starlink pathways. Just, it's like this beautiful little parade of lights.
I don't have an uplifting ending, a way to send people out on this, but I guess just don't show up in the news, please.
Yeah, please, especially like on the receiving end of an angry fast food customer.
And until next time, I'm Byron.
I'm Kelly.
Have a weird week.
Been listening to an Audio Wool original produced by Byron McCoy. Theme music provided by Cemeteries. For more programs like this, visit audiowool.co.